YouTube launches new tools for ad targeting and creative. Pinterest opens up taste graph targeting. Twitter testing 280 character tweet limit. Amazon surprises everyone with more Echo products. And Snapchat adds new sponsored world lenses. It's Monday, October 2nd, 2017. All of that is coming up along with the week's news quick hits on episode 295 of Brave Ad World.
New consumers, new media, new strategies. This is Brave Ad World.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 295 of Brave Ad World, the official podcast of BraveAdWorld.com, which combines actionable insights with some of the latest headlines in social media and digital marketing news. Every week I take the top stories, provide a recap, and then share insights as to what those stories might mean to us as marketers. My name is Taylor Wigert, and what a week. We have so much to cover. So with that, let's just dive into things and talk first about YouTube and some new tools for advertisers. So YouTube is launching new tools for advertisers based on some research from Ipsos. So Ipsos found that people are four times more likely to pay attention to online video ads over their TV counterpart. Good research for YouTube. And YouTube video generates twice as much attention compared to other social platforms. So it's not like they're taking a hit at Facebook at all with that one. But YouTube took all of those findings and they came up with a way to make personalized video ads easier to target and create. Let's talk targeting first, because YouTube's updating its custom affinity audiences tools, which those are aimed at targeting people in want or in need of something. So what advertisers can do is target intent-based keywords. But beyond that, they can target based on apps a consumer has downloaded, as well as the locations the consumer has been. So they can get a lot more targeted far beyond keywords, targeting by the apps users have on their phones as well as their location. The second feature is aimed at helping advertisers create video ads. It's called Director Mix, and it involves advertisers uploading one or a few creative video assets. From there, Director Mix algorithmically creates thousands of different versions of that ad for different audiences with the aim of targeting messages to different people without raising production costs. Finally, advertisers can measure offline sales through data logics across all of their campaigns, such as bumper ads. Previously, all advertisers could do in terms of measuring offline sales was driven by YouTube skippable TrueView ads. So they're expanding it much further in this partnership with Datalogix. What YouTube's doing with video creation, it's been done with banners in the past, but this is the first time it's been done with video. The tools have already been put through tests with clients ranging from Campbell's Soup to McDonald's to Ubisoft for their game Assassin's Creed. So this is certainly a robust new offering of tools, and Google's clearly going after Facebook in a pretty big way. Facebook's been touting its video capabilities, and YouTube's saying, you know, not so fast. We're the original video powerhouse, and we're not giving up so easily. So these new tools, they certainly are hitting advertisers on all of their pain points, measurement, targeting, as well as creative optimizations. So not bad, YouTube. All right, let's talk next about Pinterest and some of the things they're doing in terms of targeting their users, because Pinterest is now allowing advertisers to target more than 5,000 interests, something Pinterest calls the taste graph. So the taste graph is designed to determine what its users like, as well as what they like, how what they like changes over time, with the idea being what's in today may not be tomorrow. So it does this by looking at what content Pinners have engaged with recently, as well as how frequently they engage with that content. So you take the example of someone planning a wedding. Of course, they're interested in wedding planning ideas right now, but once the wedding's over, they're not all that interested anymore. Pinterest's focus on the taste graph, it underscores its point of difference with other platforms. While those focus on audience and user size and the ability to scale and the ability to reach massive audience, Pinterest is focusing on user interests. Pinterest is at its best when it's used as a search tool, which is all about focusing on user intent. And what TasteGraph does is it allows advertisers to get closer to user intent and serve up promoted content that's as relevant as possible. All right, let's talk about the big news this week. This news coming out of Twitter, because Twitter is testing an increase in tweets in a tweet's character limit from 140 characters to 280, so they're doubling it. The test is currently limited to a small group of accounts, and there's certainly ways to get around that not being able to access that limit, which you can find all over the internet. But Twitter is emphasizing that this is a test. That said, the fact that this test has been given so much prominence, this test looks a lot more like a slow rollout than an actual test. It's probably almost definitely going to happen across the board. Users who are not part of the test, they can still see tweets that are 280 characters. The tweets have the look kind of a paragraph rather than a tweet. But this is a pretty big shift for Twitter. Brevity was Twitter's defining feature. So should this roll out to more users, it's going to take some getting used to. Twitter's been slowly relaxing the character limit for some time. It announced that attachments wouldn't count in the character limit. I believe that was earlier this year. Jack Dorsey, he's tweeted a few hints here and there that 140 character limits, they wouldn't be around forever. So this is a pretty big shift for Twitter. Its defining feature was succinct sharing. So this certainly makes Twitter easier to use, but it also makes Twitter pretty similar to competitive social networks, and that could open up Twitter to a wider audience, or it could just raise more questions on whether or not Twitter still has a role to play. So we'll see where this goes. This is definitely interesting. I think this is probably going to have a collective shrug from everybody involved. I don't think it's going to bring new users onto the platform. And I think current users, as angry as they may be right now, I think they'll get over it pretty quickly. And this is just going to be kind of a meh, okay, 280 characters, whatever. I don't think it's going to be I think it's a bigger shift for Twitter than it is for everybody else. All right, let's talk next about Amazon and some of their announcements for new Echo products. So Amazon, they held a surprise event in which they announced new Echo hardware and a refreshed Fire TV. The first new Echo, it's called the Echo Spot, which basically serves as a smart alarm clock capable of making video calls and connecting via Bluetooth to speakers. It has a 2.5-inch screen, and it could technically work as a baby camera. It costs $130. The second new Echo is the Echo Plus, which is really aimed at people with connected smart homes. It's meant to function as this hub for smart home technology, and it's actually compatible with 100 smart home devices, which it can connect to via voice. So there's no app required. It's pretty cool how this device is able to connect to all the smart home devices in one person's home without really an app. It just does it. Amazon's also launching cheaper versions of the original Echo, which will cost $99, or you can get a 3-pack of them and have one for multiple places in your house for $249. This revamp of the original, it can also come in different finishes like cloth and wood. Finally, Amazon announced the Echo Connect, which allows users to make landline phone calls through Alexa. The outlier for the announcement was probably the Echo Button, which people can use to kind of play TV-style trivia games at home. So using this little button is kind of a buzzer. And joining Alexa is a new Fire TV that features 4K support. So it's probably no surprise that this is coming out, considering Apple just announced their 4K Apple TV a few weeks ago. Amazon also announced that Alexa is going to be integrated into BMWs and some mini vehicles next year. The Echo's success, it's pretty incredible, and this announcement showed that Amazon will not stop until there's an Echo in every home. I mean, they're selling a 3-pack for crying out loud. What started as one device is now a collection of products, giving users a pretty wide selection of different styles and levels of functionality. All right, let's wrap up with this story from Snapchat and what they're doing with world lenses. So what started with the dancing hot dog evolved into Bitmojis is now an option for advertisers. Snapchat launched sponsored world lenses, which allow advertisers to drop in their own 3D augmented reality assets for users to play with and share on the platform. The move, it's not a big surprise. The dancing hot dog, it was a huge success, being viewed more than 2 billion times. Advertisers including Bud Light and Warner Brothers, they're already on board giving sponsored world lenses a try. Snapchat's placed a big bet on augmented reality, and it's an area where it still has a pretty significant edge over Facebook. And while these world lenses, they will be relegated to advertisers with pretty big budgets, they do offer a way for brands to get a massive amount of exposure while inviting users to play with their brands and then share their creations with friends. All right, that is it for the week's main stories. So now I'm going to dive into the news quick hits, where I'm going to hit other stories that happened this week at a high level that didn't get discussed earlier. First up, Facebook has launched cross-platform brand lift. This is a tool that analyzes TV analytics to evaluate brand lift across Facebook, Instagram, and the Facebook Audience Network, also known as FAN. The data allows brands to evaluate ad performance between control and exposed groups. Facebook's also partnering with Nielsen to determine if someone who saw an ad on TV also saw an ad from the brand on Facebook. The goal really is to understand the impact of TV on social media, specifically Facebook, as well as the impact of social media has on TV, to understand how the two work together, where to best allocate your spend between the two to hit users at or potential customers in both places. Snapchat added a new tool called Sky Filters, which lets users add different effects like rainbows and sunsets to the sky. The move is part of Snapchat's efforts to be the place where users share their creativity. Instagram added 100 million users in the past 5 months. This puts the platform at 800 million monthly users. This is the fastest growth period for Instagram yet. It also now has 2 million advertisers. The NFL and Facebook, they've reached an agreement that will allow Facebook to show highlights from NFL games on Facebook Watch. Facebook joins Twitter, Snapchat, and of course Amazon, which is already streaming Thursday night games, in having a deal with the NFL. In addition to highlights, the NFL will be launching 3 shows on Facebook. Instagram is giving users more control over who can comment on their posts. They can select specific groups of people, if they so choose, such as accounts they follow or their followers. Accounts can also be blocked from commenting. Users also now have the ability to anonymously report people in need of support who are live broadcasting. So if someone's live broadcasting something that maybe signals they need a little bit of support, a little bit of help, this will ensure those individuals get the help they need. Vimeo has acquired Livestream, and along with the acquisition, it launched a new video product called Vimeo Live. This is the first time Vimeo's offered its users live streaming capabilities, and its offering is pretty robust. Creators can capture, edit, stream, and archive live content, as well as monetize it should they so choose. Facebook's added a new campaign objective, Messages, to its self-serve ad buying tool. Advertisers who want to drive users to their Messenger presence will be able to put the objective to use. Once users tap on the ads, they'll be taken to a conversation with the brand within Facebook Messenger. Advertisers, they could do this before using the traffic objective, but this is meant to make the option to drive users to Messenger more apparent. All right, that is it for episode 295 of Brave Ad World. Before I let you go, I do want to hear from you. Send questions, comments, let me know what you like, let me know what you don't like to braveadworld@gmail.com. Please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps me know what you think and it helps others find the podcast. I can be found on Twitter at @twiegert. That's T-W-I-E-G-E-R-T. You can also find my personal thoughts and insight on social media and digital marketing at braveadworld.com. Going to be traveling quite a bit over the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to do my best to get episodes 296 and 297 out there on schedule, but we'll see. So no promises there. If you don't hear from me, well, you'll know why. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. For more, check out braveadworld.com.